Welcome to the Navigation Church podcast, featuring practical and encouraging weekly messages from one of our pastors or featured guests. Make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. Every message is committed to helping you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here's today's message with Pastor David Amston.
But this would be a tough service to sit through so far. Hey, we are going to be getting into our conversation of Holy Spirit 101. And for those in the booth, in just a couple minutes, I'm going to have you reset my timer because I'm not paying attention to it right now. Because I want to give you guys a couple testimonies. How many see all the eggs and all the toys up here? Last week, we packed 40,000 eggs. How many was a part of that? You had fun. Next year, we'll have to convince you to come back. Like, we got eggs ready to go. We got toys ready to roll out. We are getting a great, great response online. But here's where I want to brag on you for a second. And Pastor Aaron, if you remember the specific number, we're close to 60 volunteers already, right? Do we need a total of like 70-something? It was more than that? Okay, so we are 80% way through filling up all of our volunteer spots. But for close to around 60 of you to already be signed up, can I just say, way to go. I mean, we're going to be out there next Saturday, and in case you don't have anything to pray for next week, how about you pray that 25-mile-an-hour wind, heavy rains, just avoid us altogether, because we've already lost our banners out front. But so excited about that. I do want to just kind of give you some other testimonies of cool things happening. I know that Dallas and Meg just did the announcements, and you're going to feel like I'm rehearsing them. But I want to tell you that this past week had an amazing conversation with an individual that when they were a child, they were infant baptized. And during this year of radical discipleship, during this year of journeying, just finding God, the Holy Spirit opened their eyes to why water baptism at an older age or once you've been saved, why it's so important. And they have, this past week alone, signed up to be water baptized this past week. And so today we're going to be talking about baptisms. And so if you were maybe infant baptized, just so you know, I believe that there's a next step for you. But we already had someone tell us about that. This past week I was talking with an individual, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about praying. And here's what they told me. They told me that God had been dealing with them about his holiness. Not even a subject that we're talking about. But just so you know, God was individually talking to them about holiness. Another individual told me a story where they were struggling. And by the way, if you're not used to Navigation Church, we're just blunt honest sometimes. They were struggling with porn. And they did not want to watch it. They did not want to go to it. They did not want to use it again. Spent 30 minutes just praying in tongues until they felt the strength to overcome it. These are miracles that are happening. And you may say, well, no, that's absolutely. This last Sunday, we encouraged everyone. I don't know, those in our online community, those here with us in person, we had little pieces of paper for you to write down the name of an individual or individuals that you want to see to invite to church. This past week, or this just minutes ago, someone came up, someone that they put on the list last week, even though circumstances, they weren't supposed to be anywhere around them, they found themselves around them this week, having healthy conversations. Got a text yesterday that they were going to be going to church today. And they just put them on the list last week, and so that is an absolutely powerful. I feel like I should pause to let you clap. I keep walking all over it on you. And so last week, if you wrote down a name on a card in order to invite someone who was on your heart, can I just tell you that statistics tell us in the last year, only 5 out of every 100 Christians even invited someone to church. And here's the thing. We are not the normal church. That needs an amen. Okay. All right, we don't go with statistics and we don't go with odds. We are the 95% that invite. And so I just want to encourage you. There are some statistics out there that say that the Gen Z generation, that over 80% of them have never been personally invited to church, and over 70% of them admit that if someone would personally invite them, they would say yes. There's a scripture out there that says the harvest is ripe. The field is white. The harvest is ready, but the problem is the laborers are few. Can we just say this today? God, we're not going to be a part of the few. We will be the many. Amen? So let me just kind of jump, keep going. How many have a little card sitting on their chair right there? This is just a card for you to take today. And by the way, we took a photo of every chair this morning. And if your card's left, we're going to call you. That's not true. We don't have that technology. We do. But we have to put a sign out front and admit that we're recording you. So here's what this card is for. This card is an open door because this is the time of year that people are interested in going to church. I want to challenge you. So far we've been talking this year of we're in a 40-day spiritual challenge. So one of the things that we did is we've been reading our scriptures every single day. We've been using the SOAP method. How many remember that piece of paper that we handed out? There's a QR code behind me if you want to download your PDF. And you're going to read a scripture. You're going to observe what it has to say. You're going to apply it to your life, and then you're going to pray. So that challenge has continued to go on. The next challenge that we had you do was don't miss a single Sunday. And by the way, people have been doing fantastic with that. They've been going, I think, are we up to date on the slides? Can you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and jump into the PowerPoint. I know I didn't start like I normally do. I'm sorry because she reset my timer because I figured I'd be rambling at the beginning, and I was. So the weekly challenge is the SOAP, not to miss a Sunday morning, which you guys have been doing fantastic. Here's this week's challenge for you. This week's challenge is simply this. Invite someone to church. And this isn't, don't just walk out the door, go to the nearest gas station and hand that to someone. Even though that's fantastic, here's what I'm telling you. Last week, we wrote down names of loved ones. And for you to have an honest and real conversation with them, to just say, hey, God has put you on my heart. I would like to personally invite you to come to church. Which service is most convenient for you? And just meet them here and go to church with them. I promise you, if you would put yourself out, the Holy Spirit will meet you in that place. So that is this week's challenge. So we are on week number 6, and as we kick off week number 6, I'm going to give you the same kind of warning that I've been giving every single week, is that the last 5 weeks in this week, you have had Teacher David in the pulpit. And by the way, I can't wait for next week where Preacher David can come back. I'm not going to have a pulpit. I'm not going to have notes. I'm just going to ramble for 25 minutes. I'm so excited about it on Easter Day. I may have a few notes for Easter morning, but during this time, my goal isn't to emotionally move you to believe what we believe, but it's to theologically and mentally equip you with the understanding of why we believe what we believe. So in this teaching time, Dr. Fuchsia Pickett, Pastor Robert Morris, Dr. Ron Cottle, Dr. Patty Amston, Dr. Gary Chapman, is everything that I've taken my notes from. If you hear something today and you go, wow, that's profound, I got it from somebody else, I'm not this smart. And so this is just a kind of a correlation. This is a bringing together, an amalgamation of a bunch of different teachers and theologians to present to you Holy Spirit 101. But I will tell you this. We've been talking about it for 5 weeks. Today's going to be week number 6. At the end of today's service, we're going to have something known as an altar call. You may have heard this before. You may experience. We're going to invite people to come down to actually step into what it is we've been talking to for weeks now. So I say that to say, Holy Spirit, I pray that you soften all of our hearts. I pray that years of both wrong and illogical teachings, may they be stripped away. I pray that any walls that we have up that keep us from getting close to you, may they come falling down today. And by the time we're done with today's conversation and today's service, Holy Spirit, not only do we believe you're a person living inside of us with a job to do here on earth, I believe that we'll have the power of who you are resonating in our lives. So God, we welcome you. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Well, welcome to week 6, the final week of Holy Spirit 101. For those watching us maybe post-service, post our time together, you should know that today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a very interesting time in the Christian faith because we remember this famous holiday, this famous season, this famous spiritual day, because 2,000 years ago, our, what we know him as, Savior, is riding in on a donkey to a group of people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the king is finally here, Rome is going to be overthrown," like they're just celebrating and shouting his praises. But it was also the time that the reason why the city was so filled was we were getting close to Passover. Passover was a time where the priest would sacrifice an animal and go put its blood on the altar in order, can we say this, to punt the sins of the people down the road. You couldn't forgive them because the blood of an animal wasn't equal to the sins of man. What we needed was a man to cover the sins of man, and that's what Jesus was coming to do. And the priests, they had this very interesting ritual that they would go through. There were times that they would come into this tabernacle, and this tabernacle had these couple places. The first one they came to was this altar that they would have to put blood on. And then this next one that they came to was this washbowl, let's call it that to make it easy to understand. This washbowl where they would cleanse themselves. And another thing that the high priest had the opportunity to do was be anointed with oil. And the reason why they had to go through all these steps is because one time a year, the high priest got to go into this place called, and when I say it, you respond with, ooh, okay? But one time a year, they got to go into the Holy of Holies. I know, it just sounds majestic, doesn't it? But that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where this temple seat was. But the priest had to do these specific steps because if you approach the altar, if you approach the Ark of the Covenant, if you approach that Holy of Holies incorrectly, because sin was still on you, you would actually die. And so we have this two things happening in Jerusalem at this time. The high priest trying to fulfill what they've always done for the sake of the people, but Jesus coming in trying to fulfill what he needs to do, who? For the sake of the people. And so I'm just going to kind of put pause on that thought right there because I want to jump into the Holy Spirit. And over the last couple weeks, we've covered a couple things. Oh, I do want to do one thing here real quick. Last week, I made a mistake on the PowerPoint and something that I posted on your sermon notes, and I want to make sure those watching and those who are here, for instance, last week, I said 1 Corinthians 13:39, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, do not forbid speaking in tongues. It's actually 1 Corinthians 14:39. So a couple things that were just like numbers moved around, and so if you want to see those couple things that I found post-service, make sure to download the notes, and you're able to get that, and you're able to get the rest of this information being this. Week number one, we covered that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. It's not a thing. It's not a force. He's a person. And what this person we talked about in week number two, he has a divine purpose to bring the presence of God to all humanity, to human beings. God isn't wanting to be, can we say it this way? He's not wanting to be in a temple, in an ark, separate from everybody, where only one person can come see him. He wants to be present with all of us. How is he present with all of us? Week number three, we covered this. He has a desire to abide in your abode. He wants to live inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the person who has a job, needs a home, the home is to be in you. Once he's living inside of you, week number four, we talked about this. He's going to empower us with supernatural gifts to glorify David. Jesus, our whole life is to point to Jesus, not to me. It's not for me to get a bigger name, bigger ministry, bigger mailing list with a bigger Learjet. It's not about that. It's about Jesus, always about Jesus. And so this power that we're endowed with is for the glorification of Jesus through the gifts and the presence. And one of the ways that we know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us because he gives us the gifts as well as the grace of his presence. And one of the grace gifts that we talked about was the tongues. Speaking in tongues, the edification of tongues, the prophecies, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all those things. But it's a gift given to individual believers. And this week, we're going to say this, and this sentence may not make sense, but I think we'll be able to unpack it nicely. Week number six, Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, and Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. And so we're gonna talk about that. Specifically, we're going to talk about the three baptisms that I believe every follower of Christ needs to walk through in their spiritual journey. And when I say I believe it, I'm going to present to you some scriptures so that you can see why I would say that.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about week number one, or point number one. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. You probably have heard this scripture before, and especially if you were here on week two with us. It says in John 16:8, and I took this from CSB to help understand the language a little easier. It says, when he comes, he being the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if you're like, wow, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us and judge us and make it. No, no, go back to week number two. It's to convict us of our sins, see that we're in right standings with Jesus, in righteousness, we're in right standings, and the judgment that the enemy tries to bring against us, we have to realize that we've overcome it. So we've broken out that scripture, but I want you to remember that one because the Holy Spirit helps us see that we're sinners. If you don't realize that you're a sinner, why would you ever need a Savior? So the Holy Spirit helps point us out where we have fallen short, where we aren't who what God has created us to be. So the Holy Spirit helps us. 1 Corinthians 12:13 goes on to say this, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, we become baptized into one body, being the body of Christ. And so in a minute, I want to talk to you about the importance of being a part of a local church. I want to tell you why I believe that it's biblical for you to be a part of a local church. But I also, I want to unpack the next thought just a little bit and then try to bring it together to help you understand it what I think the best way possible. So we have to understand that there's going to be an internal decision, and every internal decision should have an external expression. So a long time ago, a really, really long time ago, I married my wife. So long ago, we've been married now for a total of 18 years. Yes, I got help from the sidelines. And so internally, I wanted to marry my wife. Externally, I put on a ring. Internally, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, what was it that I put on externally? And so that's why I'm saying when we make these internal decisions, there should be external demonstrations of it. So let's keep going now, and I think you'll see what I mean after we talk about this one. Number two, the second baptism that I want to talk to you about is the disciples baptized us in water. So the second baptism is one of water baptism, and that's what disciples do for individuals. You probably know this scripture, Matthew 28:19. This one's a very famous one. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But I think 1 Peter makes water baptism just a little more clear when 1 Peter 3:21 says this. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. And by the way, it's not the removal of dirt from the body, but it's the pledge of a clear and conscious towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So some of you have probably heard that baptism, water baptism, is some just a sign. Others of you may have heard that water baptism is more of a salvation experience. I have no desire to argue between the two points there. But here's what I want to say. That anytime there's an internal decision, we should have an external expression that defines it. And so water baptism is the cutting off of the old flesh, burying of an old person, and you're born again into a new family. The same way when you were a child, you had to breach your mother's water in order to be birthed into this family. Remember when Nicodemus was talking to Jesus and Jesus said, you need to be born again. Nicodemus goes, how am I supposed to climb back into my mother's womb? It's not your mother's womb that we're climbing in. We're climbing into the womb of Christ. And the moment you are water baptized, you are breaking the water again, being birthed into a new family. And when you're born again, I need you to hear this. You are being born again as a child of God, as a perfect child of God. Not perfect in our performance, but a perfection in our position. Amen. We're never going to be perfect individuals. Is there anybody in here that everything you do all the time, those watching online, you were perfect all the time? And if so, feel free to raise your hand. We will throw stones at you. Okay, good. That's a no for everybody. But here's what we have to understand. The moment we're born again into Christ, our positioning is correct. Because we're part of the Son of God. And the same way that I disappointed my father is the same way my sons are going to disappoint me. It's the same way I'm going to disappoint my dad. But that doesn't mean I lose my last name. It doesn't mean I lose my position in the family. It means that I am now born into this family. So why is it important to be a part of a local church? I would say this, that when you're water baptized, it testifies to everybody around you what has happened internally. If you're not part of a local church and you say that I'm saved, who is there to testify but you? Who is it to tell the world about this? I can tell you now, and by the way, he's sitting right here for those watching online. Pastor Aaron, I can testify, is a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has the name Pastor in front of his name? No, because I walk with him on a regular basis inside the church community. And inside the church community, I can say, this is someone who's pursuing Christ. I testify it. Well, how do you know that you've been baptized with water? I'll show you the video. I got wet. Right? It's a demonstration of what has happened on the inside. It's an expression on the outside. So anybody who says, I love Jesus, but I hate the church, that's like saying this, I hate the body that I'm a part of. I hate the thing that Jesus brought me into. I hate my family. And here's the thing, when it comes to some local churches, I get it. You know what the problem with local churches are? They're made up of people. People are horrible. This is coming from a pastor. Here's the thing. I've said this so many times, and I'll say it again. The worst advertisement that God ever did was to allow us to talk for him. I think it'd be so much better if Jesus was just here talking all the time. But the problem is Jesus is gone, but the Holy Spirit is here. Where is the Holy Spirit living? In me. So whose voice am I going to hear? Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. I've heard it. No, that's called demon possession. We don't dust off that ministry too often, but if you talking like that, I'm grabbing a trash can and we having a prayer meeting. No, it's this. I'm getting in the car, I have this little card in my pocket, and all of a sudden God places someone in my heart, and it's at the work, and tomorrow I go into work, and while they're in work, I all of a sudden see that their demeanor is down, their personality is down, and I say to them, is everything okay? And they go, no, my husband left me yesterday. You are the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak at that moment. You are the one that can now testify to the world around because you have been empowered. Which, by the way, is our third baptism. This is one we, and by the way, I feel like I should admit this and repent for this. I feel as a pastor, I have missed this aspect of the baptism. We are forever changing the way we do water baptisms around here, because after you come out of water baptism, if you've been prayed for or not, this is a step that we're going to start doing, because I believe every Christian needs to have all three baptisms of what? The baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me being who? John the Baptist is talking right now. It says, but after John the Baptist comes, one who is more powerful than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry, but Jesus, he's the word he there, Jesus will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, so we're baptized in the salvation of Jesus Christ. But now we're finding here that once we understand the salvation, Jesus is the one that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Historically, context, I do want to point this out. John the Baptist was not talking to the 12 disciples at this point. He wasn't talking to the 100 in the upper room, 120 in the upper room. John the Baptist was talking to the multitude as the last Old Testament prophet to declare what the coming Messiah would be about. And so if you go, well, I thought at the end of Acts all the gifts disappeared. The problem is John didn't put a time limit on it. John said this, that when he comes, His main thing that he's going to, well, I can't say the main thing. I know theologically that's even pushing back on me right now. One of the jobs that Jesus is coming to do is to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, this is so important that all four Gospels, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33 all cover this. And so if all four of them say that these steps are important, I'm thinking we need to take the same steps as Jesus. Step number one, we need salvation. Wait, Jesus didn't need salvation. Exactly. Like, he was the sacrificial lamb. He came to die so that we could live. In him, we need to die so that we can live. Then Jesus was water baptized. If you don't know that story, it's John doing this. He water baptized. As soon as Jesus comes up out of the water, it's like a dove ascending from heaven came onto him. The Father God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And I'm thinking, this, by the way, this may be crazy. See if you follow me. If Jesus Christ, who's perfect, needed the Holy Spirit to fulfill his mission, how important is it for us to have the Holy Spirit? Right? So you don't think I'm crazy, which I know that's an ongoing debate. We can leave that there. But one of the things we've talked to you about is we want to demystify this Holy Spirit thing. We want to demystify the tongues. We want to demystify the gifts. So let's just start reading some scriptures and see if we can't see a pattern emerge. Now, as we're reading these scriptures, I want you to know you're going to see the number 1, 2, and 3 in parentheses. I have put those in there so that you can see what it is I'm talking about. These aren't in the Bible, but as we go through, I think it'll help us see the pattern. Acts 2:38, Peter then, this is on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost meaning 50, exactly. So Pentecost, let's not freak out about that word. It just means 50 days later, Peter was up and talking. And the first thing he says is, repent. Baptism of salvation. And he said, and be baptized. Baptism by water. And he says, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? A baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3. It was all three of them. The first sermon ever preached in the New Testament church. It included the baptism of repentance, the baptism by water, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You go on to Acts chapter 8. It says, but when they, ready, believed Philip as he proclaimed the gospel of proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. So what we see here is they believed. There was a repentance for their sins right there. And in the name of Jesus, they were what? They were baptized. Now, it's interesting. This is an interesting point in the Bible because most people would say, you get saved, that's awesome, now you can go to heaven. But this is where I need all of us to be on the same page. When we're talking about the baptisms provided to us by Jesus Christ, it is not so you can get a ticket punched and get to heaven. If you want that, I can't do that joke. Sure, I can. Let's get you saved now and I'll kill you tomorrow. I mean, if the only goal is to get to heaven, let's get our ticket punched and get out of here as quickly as possible so I don't mess anything up. But that's not what it's about. There's a whole nother aspect of victorious living here on earth. Your job isn't to get saved to get to heaven. Your job is to get saved so that you can have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, so that you can be an ambassador for Christ, testifying for Jesus, and being a witness to what Jesus did for us on the cross here on earth. So Acts 8:12 goes on to 8:14. It's just kind of the way the numbers work. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had kind of heard the word of God, they then sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them, they had been simply what? Baptized. They had been baptized by salvation, they had been baptized by water, and then Peter and John placed their hands on them for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They made a trip from Jerusalem to Samaria because they only had two of the three baptisms. And these guys knew that it was so important that they needed to make a trip for the, and I might as well warn you now, this is how we do it here, by the laying on of hands. Not the pushing of a body so that someone falls over and we yell, God. It's the laying on of hands, because from one disciple to the next, we are able to baptize because of Jesus into the Holy Spirit what this gift is. And so, you don't see it yet? Let's keep going. I bet a pattern emerges. Acts 19, 1 through 6. When Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they go, no, we haven't even heard of this thing, this force, this being known as the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes, then what baptisms did you receive? It's John's baptism. And Paul said, John's baptism was what? Number one, baptism of repentance. Can you see the pattern? Baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one coming after him, and that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were what? Baptized in the name of Jesus. That tells us they were water baptized, John's baptism. So now we know that they were saved and they were water baptized. And then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There are three baptisms that as followers of Jesus Christ we need to have in our life. Number one is the forgiveness of our sins, is understanding that the Holy Spirit is helping us realize that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And we get connected into the body. What body? The body of Christ. That body of Christ testifies to the world around us that we are followers of Jesus. But then we take it one step further in that salvation process to be born into the family. We get water baptized so that we can break the water once again, washing off the old, the same way that Jesus went in the tomb for 3 days. We hold you down for 3 seconds. That's not true. And then we bring you back up. And that's a washing off of the old man, being birthed into the new man. But can I say it this way? Your temple is still empty at that point. You are a temple for the Holy Spirit, but he hasn't moved in yet. And Paul is showing us, Peter here, then there is the laying on of hands so that you can receive it. But Pastor, we're 2,000 years later. That all ended at the day of Pentecost. Actually, Acts 8 is 5 years after Pentecost. Acts 10, which we didn't read, but this was the salvation of the Gentiles, happened 10 years after Pentecost. Acts 19 right here is happening 25 years after Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit was never to end. It was something that we as Christians still have the opportunity to receive today. So salvation, you become a new person. Water baptism, you cut off the old person. Spirit baptism, you get the power to walk in the new. Walk in the power of God. So I started today's conversation by telling you that we're on Palm Sunday, and the priest would go into the temple, and they would sacrifice on this altar blood. And they'd go to the next one, and they would wash themselves, and they were also anointed with oil. And if they didn't do these specific steps properly, when they went into God's presence, they would actually die. Physically die, not spiritually die. Physically be struck down. And by the way, I believe it's the same three baptisms that we see today. Because the first altar that the priest had to go to was one of salvation. There had to be a sacrificial lamb. Then the second one was the wash basin where they washed themselves. Or can we say this? It was water baptism. Another stop that the priest did, or it was a part of the process, was the pouring of the oil. Or could I say this? It was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that would come upon them. And if you didn't have these and they would improperly move into the Holy of Holies, they would die. Why do I say this over again? Why am I bringing this back up when I mention it at the beginning? Ever wonder why you, as a follower of Christ, feel so defeated in your life? How can you possibly feel defeated if you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the everlasting God, El Shaddai, living inside of you. El Shaddai, living inside of you. It took me a second to pull up that $5 word. Is there a chance that there are too many Christians in this world trying to move into God's presence with only two of the three baptisms? And we continue to move into God's presence saying that we are in right standing with God, but the fact is we're missing one of the third and most important baptism, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. You wonder why you're so defeated in your life. Is there a chance that you have punched your ticket to heaven? You did the thing of getting water baptized, but you didn't fully understand it, and now you're just hoping to hold on to your salvation until such day that you pass away. I'm here to tell you now that you are meant to walk in the presence of God with full confidence, because the God who you're going into his presence is the same God who lives inside of you. The same God who lives inside of you is the same God who can save a lost and a dying world. The same God. It's amazing how so often we become overwhelmed by our world, and usually we become overwhelmed because the thing we're looking at becomes so much bigger than the God who's living inside of us. There's a chance, because the God who's supposed to be living inside of us is still this far off, distant being that we need to somehow get to if we ask the pastor to say a hard enough prayer for us, versus realizing that the God living inside of us is going to be bigger than any situation that we could ever face. We are dying as Christians not because of a lack of faith. We're dying as Christians because we lack the understanding that the Holy Spirit, we need to be baptized in him in order for him to live inside of us. So he is a person that has a job today, and that job is to express is to be expressed in my thoughts and my gifts and the powers of the Holy Spirit, both as individuals and as a corporate body, in order to glorify Jesus. And so I want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands and the aligning of my will with his will. And so here's what I'm going to do today. For those who have been watching us online for these last couple weeks, I know that the group that you're a part of, the small group that you're connected with, you're going to have times of going into prayer. And I just want to thank you for being with us for these last couple weeks. Where you are. The scriptures tell us that through the laying on of hands, that people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And with us not being face-to-face, I don't know how to do a laying on of hands of you. And if I said to you that I could pray for you now and it's the same thing, I have no idea. God wasn't around when computers, or Jesus wasn't here on earth when computers were up and running. So here's what I'd love to, for everybody in our online community right now, I want to take a second to pray for you. And if you receive the gift of this Holy Spirit, of him, the Holy Spirit, please let us know and what occurred. And I don't know if it's going to be a feeling that you get, if it's going to be a boldness to witness for him, or if it's going to be the speaking of tongues. I don't know how we could actually quantify this, but I do know this. I'd be remiss, just because you're in a different campus than us, to not spend a minute praying for you. And so, church, could we all do this? Before we go into ministry for ourselves, can we just pause here? And for those in our online community right now, I just pray that the power of the Holy Spirit falls where you are right now. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit, as in the day of Pentecost, overwhelms the room that you're in, and you feel like a mighty rushing wind, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I can say this, so I'm going to do it. I want to baptize you into the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I baptize you with the grace to speak in tongues. I baptize you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the empowerment that you've been looking for in your faith to become present and alive in you right now in the name of Jesus. And wherever you're sitting, wherever you're listening, however you're watching this, I pray that God has his way with you in a way that you've never experienced before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. So in an online community, listen, I know our moderators are there. You don't have to log off quite yet. If there's something happening, keep it going. If you need to turn on some worship music, find Jesus in this area. But as far as this live stream of me talking to you, I am going to say goodbye for now. Please join us Good Friday. Come out to the Easter egg hunt or be with us on Easter morning. But until such time, God bless.
Thanks again for joining us this week on the Navigation Church podcast. We hope this message strengthened and encouraged you in the next step of your journey. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. And if you want more information about Navigation Church or wish to connect with us in more ways, visit navchurch.org, download the Nav app in your app or Google Play Store, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and even like the Navigation Church page on Facebook. And again, make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. For now, know Navigation Church is always here to help you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.